imagination is starved. We don't imagine things. Can you imagine, for instance, let's just practice a little. I want to imagine who, what hero, if you could be a hero, any hero that you wanted, what hero would you be? Think about it. You got 2 more seconds, and I want you to shout it out. 1, 2, shout. Okay, that's cool. You do have heroes in mind, right? There's Iron Man or Wonder Woman, and of course, any number of other non-Marvel heroes, or I forget the other group that are heroes these days. There might be heroes in your mind, like perhaps you wanted to be like another Billy Graham who just passed away and win thousands to Jesus. Maybe you wanted to be able to take the hand like Peter and Paul and lift up the one who is lame. Maybe you want to just be one of those people that when you run into strangers, you can sit and talk to them about Jesus and they'll get saved on the spot. Pretty cool, huh? That's a different kind of desire and hero to want to be. There's another kind of thing I want you to imagine now. If you could go anywhere, where would you go? Okay, 1, and then on 3, shout it out. 1, 2, shout. I heard heaven, that's good. Yeah, this I couldn't quite distinguish all the different places, but you have thoughts in mind. So you do have an imagination, right? Well, Lynn and I, we have loved the mountains. Now, I grew up in a flat farmland of Ohio in the middle of the U.S., and I only could imagine mountains. I could see pictures, and I could think, I want to go to mountains someday, but for all the time I was growing up, never went close to a mountain until one day when we went to Africa and I got to see the Drakensberg. And then there was another time later, right in my own country, Lynn and I, you know Lynn, right? My husband, some of you look strange to me, I don't know. Yeah, this guy I married, and so one year we decided we'd go to the mountains in our own country that we hadn't seen before. And we took our son with us, he was in his mid-20s. And so we were camping, and we could see the mountains. And we got up in the morning, and Jeff said to me, that's our son, he said, Mom, you see that mountain over there? It's beautiful, isn't it? We love to look at it. I love to look at it. And I said, yeah, I love the mountains. I love looking at them. And he said, yeah, but I want to climb the mountain. I want to be over there where that mountain is and go up it. And he did. And he's been climbing mountains ever since. And he's much older now. And yet he still wants to climb. He still has all his gear. He still tries to see if he can get his boys to grow up soon enough to go with him and go climbing. Maybe you like to go to the ocean or the lake and get on a sailboat. Maybe you just want to sit by the lake and look. I mean, even the mountains. I was happy to sit and look at the mountains and think about him climbing up. I wasn't, like, prepared to climb that stage of my life. Not because I'm a girl now. I don't want you to think that. No, it's just because I was older by the time any girls would even think of climbing mountains. So we didn't know how to climb a mountain. But I know somebody that I want you to use your imagination to go be with right now, and that is Jonathan. As you heard read, Jonathan was in the Israelite army with his dad as the king. And it was kind of a new thing. We didn't have a king before in the Israelite army. There was no king. There was no much of an army. And the reason they couldn't be much of an army was because they didn't have any weapons. And the weapons were kind of needed to fight somebody. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, I don't know, because they only had a weapon for Saul and Jonathan, because the Philistines told them they couldn't make any more weapons and took all the blacksmiths only to the Philistine place. So the Israelites could not even make a weapon or even a plow or anything to do anything with. So they didn't have any, but they had this army. There's 600 of them out there. And they're all hanging around Saul. And here's what Jonathan did. He said to the guy that's carrying his armor, this young man, he said, hey, you know, he said, let's go over to this outpost. So Jonathan and his armor bearer started going. Now, where I want your imagination to go, I want you to be the armor bearer today. Okay, you're a young man. Those of you who have gray hair, you can pretend now. It's really fun. And you're not a girl, you're a guy, and you're carrying all this armor for Jonathan. You're carrying his stuff for him. And Jonathan and you start to sneak away. Nobody knows. Saul doesn't know. Nobody knows. And you get over. You're kind of at this pass. There's a cliff here and a cliff here, and you're going up the pass, and you say to Jonathan, said to the armor bearer, to you, he says, come on, let's go over to those uncircumcised fellows. Maybe, perhaps, the Lord will help us and we can take advantage of them and win. And the armor bearer, that's you, says back to him, do whatever in your mind. I am with you heart and soul. Wow, you're saying that now. Think about that. You don't have anything. What do you have? Well, Jonathan, I have this. I have a something I can dig in the garden with. But I don't have a sword. I don't have anything. What? No, did you say any of that? No, you were really brave. You didn't say anything. You didn't say, oh my goodness, you know, we're not fighting men. How are we going to do this? There's a bunch of Philistines over there. What are we going to do? Really? We're going to do that? He didn't hesitate. Do whatever in your mind. I am with you, heart and soul. Wow. Here we go. Okay, so they go over, and he says, now listen, if we're going to come out and show ourselves, and if they say, stay where you are, we're coming after you, then we'll know. We won't go. We won't fight. But if they say, come on up, then we'll know God has given them into our hands. And so, sure enough, they walk out. They stand out there, and they let the Philistines see them. So they look across, these Philistines. They said, hey, look, over there's some of those Hebrews crawling out of their holes from their hiding place. And then they shout to each other, hey, come on up. We'll give you a lesson. We'll teach you. Real, you know, rawr, like you just feel like, whoa, they're bigger than me. They're stronger than me. They have more than me. But here we go, because Jonathan says, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into our hands. How did Jonathan know that? Well, you're not going to question that because you trust Jonathan. You're his armor bearer. You're going to take it and go with him wherever he goes. So they start climbing hand over hand, foot in the places, and away they go, climbing, on up to the Philistines. You've got your shovel. You're carrying some of Jonathan's armor. You get up to the Philistines, hand it over, and Jonathan starts to fight. What do you do? Did Jonathan say, go over there and hide behind the tree? He didn't say that. He said, come on, here we go. Let's go. And the armor bearer, that's you, turns around and starts fighting, too, with whatever's in your hand. What's that in your hand? Oh, a shovel. Oh, a pick. Okay, go. And fight. Don't let Jonathan do it alone. You're going to fight with him. And then they killed over 20 Philistines in that area, over half an acre. And pretty soon, things started happening. The whole Philistine army went into a panic. The earth trembled, and they began melting away in every direction. Next, besides that, they began fighting each other. They were just fighting each other. Philistines don't do that. Philistines are smart warriors. But God did that. And Jonathan trusted God, and you trusted Jonathan and the God that Jonathan believed in. And that day, after Saul finds out, it's Jonathan, and the people find out it was Jonathan that got it started, the Lord delivered the Philistines into Israel's hand and rescued them, delivered them from the enemy. How was that in your imagination? It was a little bit, scary. A little bit like, it's a nice imagination, but it's like watching, you know, one of those hero stories. Of course, I could never do that. Really? I wonder. Let's think about this. Stretch your imagination a little further. What if Jonathan is Jesus? I think Jonathan is a lot like Jesus. Don't you think so? In fact, when you were thinking about this and imagining the story while I'm telling it, or while Hillary told it about a month ago, were you sort of imagining it could be Jesus? Well, I think Jonathan's a lot like Jesus, or Jesus is a lot like Jonathan, because I think that across the whole Old Testament, there's a shadow of Jesus on it. And when we hear those stories, we're learning to know God's love is coming for us to deliver us. So here's Jesus. Now, you've already had a time like this with Jesus. You've climbed a mountain already. Think back to that first time he said, I want you to go far away to a place called Manila, Philippines, to APNTS. That was a mountain. Oh my goodness, I can't climb that. Maybe was your first thought. Oh, but I think you can. That's God saying it. But you just said to God, do whatever's in your mind. I am with you heart and soul. Didn't you? You said that. Well, here's the reality. You had to get a visa, get permission from your family and your church. You had to buy plane ticket money, some of you. You had to leave your family, your children, your parents, your friends, everything that was comfortable. You had to come to a land with different smells and onto a campus with different cultures, people cooking different food that you don't like. Maybe. Maybe you had to sleep with a roommate that's a whole different, on a different planet than you, it seems like. You had to smell foods cooking that you don't like the smell of it. I know, because some of you tell me that was your hardest thing of all when you came. But you know what? You did it. And what I want you to know is God sees that. He knows. And he says, yay. He says, yay to you. You did climb a mountain. You forgot. Yeah, now you're in the middle of the battle. You're fighting tests. You're fighting assignments and requirements. You're trying to graduate. And you're thinking, this is too much. I'm in over my head. Why did I come here? I shouldn't have done this. It's too hard. It's just too hard. Uh-oh. When you have a cough and you have this thing right there, what are you supposed to do? But you know, the Lord still sees you. And you can still renew your commitment to the Lord and say, do all that you have in mind. I am with you heart and soul. And you say, but Chaplain Sherry, the way is so dark, and I really can't see Jesus anymore. Oh, lean back. He's got your back. You're fighting, you can't see him. He's got your back. But it's okay. You're gonna be okay, because you're gonna believe he's there. You're gonna know he cares about you. And he sees you and he knows. Yeah, I see, and he calls your name. I know it's hard. I know you can't see the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You've been listening to lies. The enemy says, come out of your holes. Come out of your hiding. You unworthy Hebrews, we can kill you easy. We'll teach you a lesson. You hear the enemy saying, you're no good at this. Why are you even trying anymore? But look at so-and-so. They can do it so much better. My water. Here, Pearline. Sorry. The Lord is saying to you, I see you, I know you, and I still love you. You want to today think about renewing that joy in your heart, that desire to serve him and follow him. You know, when years came to Jesus and he said, do all that's in your mind. Oh, that's you, the armor bearer coming to Jesus. Do all that's in your mind. I am with you heart and soul. Wasn't talking about feelings. I asked one of the Hebrew students, and they said, the heart is like the seat of your thoughts. The determination of your heart, the will. So if you're feeling down, of course you're feeling down. Well, especially when the sun doesn't shine. Today it's shining, so walk out in the sun a little bit. But just remember, I want to encourage you today. Maybe you think like nobody sees and nobody knows what's going on inside you. But he does. He knows, he sees, he cares. He still knows that you have given yourself to him.